This is the Life Truth Network. On October the 2nd, 2016, I was ordained to preach the gospel. The first minister to lay on hands was my father. He gave me two principles: preach the truth and love your people. With those principles in mind, I preach the word. I'm Nathan Caldwell, and this is Protectors of the Book.
All I can say, guys, is get your page turners ready. We're going to be in a few places this morning, but we're going to start with John chapter 13. John chapter 13 and verse 34. John chapter 13 and verse 34. Jesus says, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another." Let's pray. Lord, we come to you today. We ask your forgiveness where we failed you. We ask you to strengthen me as I bring your message. May all concentration be on your word. In Jesus' name, amen. We love our church. We love worshiping and we love the church members, but then the question comes, how much do we really love them? We love speaking with them and fellowshipping with them when they're here, but what if they're not here? What if they're suffering? What if they're in something maybe they shouldn't be in? That's when we need to urge each other on. We need to encourage each other in these times to do right, to be here, and to comfort. That is most definitely to be part of the love we share for them. It has been said that encouragement is like a peanut butter sandwich. The more you spread it around, the better things stick together. And I think that if we're not careful, we will forget to spread it around. If we're not careful, I mean, we'll see and we'll speak to those that are here, but we need to remember to reach out to those that aren't. We need to remember they're still part of our church. They're still members. And they're still God's people. And they need to be encouraged. The first thing we need to see is that we urge for love. And what I mean by that is love is the reason we're doing it. For Christ commands us here in this passage that we love one another. He says, love one another as I, Jesus, has loved you. Now, to love one another, that's easy. But to love as Jesus loved is something completely different. That is selfless. That is sacrificial. That is something that a lot of Christians don't even do. But folks, here's the thing. If we're going to love the people that we want to encourage, that means we may have to get a little bit uncomfortable. We may have to get a lot of bit uncomfortable. But if it's for the people we love, should we not be willing to do it? Jesus loved us so much, he went up on a cross, died. By the way, they didn't kill him. He sacrificed his own life. And then he rose from the dead for us. Not only that, but while he was here on this earth, he did not just let things slide. When wrong was wrong, he called it out. When Peter was about to sin, majorly, he called him out on it. And then he told him that things were going to get better, and then he had a job to do after things got better. But then after Peter denied Christ and sinned, he approached him again to bring him back up. Now, I'm sure Peter did not enjoy that, because Jesus asked him 3 times, "Do you love me?" the same number of times that he denied Christ. I'm sure it was not fun for Peter. But folks, we don't encourage people for fun. Now, folks, I'm all about having fun with my brothers and sisters in Christ. One of the things me and Dad do when we get together, you know, as the other brothers, is we have fun with the brothers and sisters in Christ. There's nothing wrong with that. But folks, when it's time to get serious, it's time to get serious. And when it's time to encourage a fellow brother or sister in Christ to do something that needs done, or to comfort them, or whatever it may be, I might have to get uncomfortable. At some point, I might have to address a topic that I really don't want to cover. By the way, pastors have to do that a lot. But folks, that doesn't let everybody else off the hook. We are told to encourage one another. We are told to do so out of love. And then Jesus said, "By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another." Love identifies us as believers in Christ. If we did not love those we are trying to encourage, why would we even spend the time? But folks, that's the problem. A lot of times we're not spending the time. Now folks, I tell you right now, I can't reach out and point fingers, because there'd be 3 more literally pointing back at me. But I'm telling you, we have to encourage our fellow church members. And I'd go farther. I'd say encourage our fellow Christians. Because, man, we're living in a world that's a mess. So we encourage because of love and for love. That is our motivation. We also urge to keep the faith. Go to Hebrews, please, chapter 3 and verse 12. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 12. The writer in Hebrews says, "Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." The first thing he says is, keep an eye on yourself. Watch yourself. Make sure you're where you need to be. But then he says, encourage one another daily. Notice it says daily.
Yeah, it says daily. What do you mean?
You know how often we encourage each other? A lot of times it's once or twice a week. And no, I'm not saying I'm going to call you guys every day. I know that'd be uncomfortable. But what I'm saying is, we need to be in constant connection with each other. We need to be in constant encouragement to each other. And another thing is, he says, while it's called today, he says, don't wait till tomorrow.
I got a lot of things on my plate today.
You can make a phone call. You can send a text message. You can send an email. Do something to encourage your brother in Christ today. You may not get to everybody, but you can get to somebody. You can do something. And folks, I'll be honest, we are told there are consequences of not encouraging each other in the faith. Look at what he says. He says, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Folks, we live in a world that is over your head deep in sin. And the only way we can stay afloat is through Jesus Christ and through the encouragement of one another. That's the only way. You say, what do you mean? I'm telling you, when people stop going to church, they start drowning in the sea of the world. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25 says, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Folks, we need to urge to meet together. We must encourage each other to love and to good works. That means I may have to get into somebody's business a little bit. What? No. You know, I wish I could remember the quote of that pastor I heard one time. Because, man, you know the people that sin, a lot of times you go, well, it's none of your business what I do at home. And he just flat out said, God makes it my business. And it's your business what I do at home. God makes it your business. Why? Because we're told, one, we're told to encourage each other. Two, a lot of times what I do may affect you. We got to be careful. We have to encourage one another. It is our business. If we see sin, we are to address it. Now, we are to address it in love, but we are to address it. If we see a discipleship moment, a teaching moment, and it can be done in the right spirit of love, then grab on to it. And it's okay if they're, whether they're older or younger than you, it don't matter. If there's a teaching moment, it don't matter if they've been saved longer or shorter than you, it don't matter. If there's a teaching moment that you can say, oh, look, this reminds me of something, share it. Let us for a moment consider an elevator which is out of order. There's a sign kind of on the ground in the corner of the elevator. And the sign says, warning, there is no elevator in this car. The doors will open, but there is no elevator. Danger. Do not approach this elevator. One, that's a really bad place to put a sign. Not everybody's going to see that sign. Would you agree? Now, somebody's thinking right now, who would have an elevator that doors is going to open like that? Well, I want to tell you something. This world is like an elevator whose doors are opening wide open, but there's no elevator. And that goes straight down the hill. But if you saw an elevator like that, and you walked, and you saw somebody walking toward it like they was going to take the elevator, they didn't see the sign, what are you going to do? Have to tell yourself it's none of your business? That's what a lot of people do when it comes to encouraging the brother. Well, it's not my business whether he comes to church or not. It's not my business whether he lets hell get a hold of him or not. Isn't it? It is, isn't it? We would not dream of letting somebody walk onto that elevator. Then why are we letting people do something that's far worse by letting the devil get a hold of our people? Of God's people. Folks, that's our family the devil's trying to mess with. That's our family the world is trying to drown. And we're saying nothing? Let that not be the case. Let that not be the case. As Paul would say, God forbid that happen. God forbid. It's like, well, my words, They don't care what I say. My words don't matter. R.A. Torrey collected his favorite illustrations, and one of them reads like this. The power of words may be seen in recalling the impact of speeches made by Adolf Hitler and Winston Churchill. Through words inflamed with hatred and lies, Hitler whipped his nation into a frenzy to become a juggernaut of destruction. On the other hand, Churchill, armed with eloquent, measured words, lifted his nation from the ashes and debris of defeat to go on to victory. Folks, we're really quick to say our words don't matter. But let me throw this at you. The world's already talking. And if we're not talking, if we're not speaking words of encouragement, then all they're hearing is the sin of the world. I find there's a problem with that, don't you? Meeting together is more important now than it used to be because the world seems to be getting worse. This is the time where everybody's like, did you get your vaccination? Did you get your vaccination? Did you get your... Why? Well, you don't want to get the disease. Okay. I'm not going to preach whether or not to get the vaccination. That's not why I brought that up. The reason people do that, though, is so they are not affected by the larger problem when it arises. Coming and worshiping in church is like a vaccine for the influences of the world. It is a recharge in our spiritual battery. And when that spiritual battery runs down, I ain't got no get up and go no more. When I run out of my get up and go, I run out of the will to serve. Now, I'm not saying the Holy Spirit doesn't try to push me, but I'm exhausted. I'm discouraged. And that's when the devil starts coming. And his minions, his mess, and the world. I'm telling you guys, we don't need the devil. The world's got enough sin that before he could... If we just took the sin of the world and the devil just sat there, the world would still be engulfed in sin, and he wouldn't even have to lead a finger. And I'm sure he started a lot of it, I am, but he's already got that going. He don't have to mess with it no more. You know, the Bible talks about how when it's all over with and Satan is for 1,000 years locked up and then they finally release him, that so many people still join up with him. You know what that tells me? That tells me I don't need the devil to sin. All I need is the world and my own lusts and my own mess. You know what that tells me? If I don't need the devil to sin, I'll tell you what I need not to sin. I need Jesus Christ. I need God. And I need the encouragement of my brothers and sisters in Christ to come along beside me and say, I know it's hard, but you got to keep going. You got to keep going. And by the way, it's interesting how these transition because we also urge to comfort. 1 Thessalonians. Turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians 5 verses 8 through 11. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. Wherefore, comfort ourselves together and edify one another, even as also you do. You know, have you ever fallen to such a state, even after being saved, that you asked forgiveness, but you still felt condemned? Wouldn't it have been great to have somebody walk up beside you and go, hey, if you truly trusted Christ by faith, that sin ain't going to keep you out of His hands. Because God is not mad at you. How many times we think of the world and we think when I offend somebody, He gets mad at me. Folks, God's not mad at you. Jesus Christ took that anger on the cross. God's not mad at you. Now, those who don't know Christ, yes, they will have to deal with the anger and wrath of God. But God's not mad at you if you have trusted Christ. He's not mad at you. But I've sinned. I've done terrible things. Yep, so have we all. And that's why we need encouragement. Just give it to God, ask for forgiveness, and move on.
It is also good to know that death is not our final state. Paul mentioned that here in 1st, did I say 2nd Thessalonians? I apologize. It was in 1 Thessalonians 5, 8 through 11. But death is not our final state. Chapter 4, just a little bit before, in chapter 4, verse 13 of 1 Thessalonians, it's a familiar and comforting passage. He said, "But I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." When we lose those we love, it's important for us to remember this. Now, we may not say it right away, but at the right time it may help. And here's why I say we may not say it right away. I have heard it said that immediately after somebody's loved one dies, they know they went to heaven, but they don't want to hear that right now. They just want to be comforted. They want to mourn. But there may come a time where they need to hear and be reminded that we will see that loved one again. Folks, another thing we urge is we urge to save lives. 1 John 5:16, I'm just going to read it. It says, "If any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it." When we see someone that knows Christ, who is into something they don't need to be into, it's a good idea to lovingly tell them their error. Because there may come a time, if they keep sinning and keep sinning and keep ignoring the Spirit of God, that God may decide to bring them home. And folks, I realize heaven is a wonderful place, but I don't want my first spot in heaven to be God looking at me and going, "I had to bring you home because you were doing stuff you didn't need to be doing." Now, I realize heaven's going to be wonderful for everybody, but I'm telling you, that's not something I want. And I will remind you that the Bible says in the new heaven and the new earth that He will wipe away our tears. That means there's going to be tears to wipe away. And I think some of that's going to be when we realize what He did for us and what little we did for Him. The reason parents encourage and discipline children is out of love. If there was no love, there would be no discipline whatsoever. I mean, if you didn't care about your kids, you'd just leave them in the house and go do whatever you wanted to do. If you didn't love them, well, they're going to hurt themselves. But for those of us that love our kids, which I think is everybody here who has kids, we can't do that. They're going to hurt themselves. Well, I better put a stop to that. Well, they ain't going to like it. Well, they sure ain't going to like the direction they're going now. See, kids don't realize that, and this is something that Max, you might be able to grasp a little bit. Sometimes y'all don't realize that the reason that we jump
when we jump, or at least Daddy does, is because he looks down the road and he sees the danger and the situation you might be in down the road because of an action you're doing now. And so that's why parents try to stop bad action before it goes any further. Now, I didn't say that to embarrass you. You're a good kid and I love you and you're doing great and I'm proud of you. But I wanted you to hear that. The only reason I said Max is you're the only young fella in the room that can understand what I'm saying. So that's the only reason I called you out. I wish we had more here. If we don't encourage and disciple our brethren in Christ, what does that say about our love for them? Let me tell you something. One of the things that's missing in today's society is church discipline. Too much is being let go. And when it's being let go, people are hurting their lives. When some people who, if they were disciplined, might turn their life back around. We urge people to save their lives. You remember our elevator illustration from earlier? What would happen if we didn't encourage? What would happen if we didn't urge each other to do the right thing? Folks, I want to tell you something. I realize that in a real elevator situation, there's a button you have to press to open the door. But when it comes to the world, the world's doors are wide open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, 366 days on the leap year. The devil don't take a day off. I thank God neither does God. God doesn't have to. He doesn't get tired. But folks, the devil and the world are working tirelessly to stop us from preaching and teaching and living the truth. And the only way we can combat this is not with weapons. It's not with violence. It's with teaching and living and encouraging the truth and what's found in the Word of God.